Hey friends, you're listening to Changing the Conversation, a podcast by African Leadership and the Mocha Club, where we take time to sit down and explore topics to challenge our perspective in pursuit of better loving people and the world around us. Hey friends, it's Fallon. Today is a really fun episode that brings lots of laughs. Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. We have three guests today, Tito, Jeffrey, and Caroline. In past episodes, you've been introduced to Tito and Jeffrey. They're two of our country directors that work in Uganda and South Sudan. And Caroline is another one of the women from the Fabulous Friends for Africa group. She works with Terry and Edie that you heard in the last episode for the event every year in Franklin. And in today's episode, we are all together in Nashville for the event. Y'all, these two guys, Tito and Jeffrey, they are goofballs. They have a sweet and hilarious friendship that you can sense throughout our conversation. They both share about the individual calling to serve God and his people by leading their communities with extreme integrity. They are incredible men, and they have incredible stories, y'all. They share a story about how they both were conscripted into war. It's crazy. It's a really cool conversation. It's a beautiful picture of how each of them are leveraging their own skills and experiences for a distinct purpose. I think you'll really enjoy today's episode.
Have you ever been in a place this cold?
Nope.
This is first time?
This is my first time.
And what do you think about our cold?
I thank God I'm not this side to enjoy my warm weather there.
You like your warm?
And God knew that you people needed this weather here. That's why you provided it.
What makes us need this weather? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Is
God
it punishment?
Knows. Maybe. Let's continue walking the race.
No.
Eventually we'll be able to ask him when we get there.
No way. It's not a punishment.
I love it. Okay. So we have spent time with both of you. I've spent some time with you in Africa, and we've captured bits and clips of that on our podcast here. Jeffrey is fond of telling me no, which I'm grateful for. Yes?
Sure.
I got a yes out of him. And Tito, we've talked a lot about work-life balance and what that's looked like for you in the midst of living in war zones and multiple countries and having babies and all kinds of things.
Yep.
But we've never had you both in person in the U.S. at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's really exciting. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thanks.
That is it.
Thanks for having us here.
And we have Caroline.
Yes.
So we have referenced, we talked about the Fabulous Friends Dance and kind of the origin of that with Terry and Edie in a podcast earlier this spring. But you are also a member of the Fabulous Friends.
Yes.
Throwing parties.
Edie brought me along for the ride. I am not a daughter of the originals, so I am a friend of a daughter of the originals.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
That's good.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think what I loved about putting all of these people in the same room and having a conversation is that this really feels like what it looks like and is like for us tangibly day in and day out to work at African Leadership in the Mocha Club. And it's what we love about being a part of something bigger than ourselves, that it is not just Africans, that it's not just Americans, that it's this place where we all get to leverage different skills and have different purposes to what we're doing, but in actuality, be working together to make something happen. Let's start by just kind of hearing a little bit about your stories and what brought you to a place of saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm all in for this, and here's my why. So, Jeffrey, you are our elder.
Sure.
And in my country...
Elders are given the first place.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your story and this place where you arrive in Uganda of saying, this is what I want my life to be about, and here's why I want it to matter.
Well, I'm so fortunate that I've lived my life in Uganda and seeing a number of things that have happened in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has helped me to be who I am and also contribute to what I can offer to Ugandans is the biblical principles of empowering people that can live according to the biblical principles and transform their own lives and eventually also lead the transformation of their communities and societies positively.
Mm. So your bottom line is just this idea that once a person's been so radically transformed in their own life, the leaders among them naturally draw other people into that and offer transformation to the communities and the people around them. There are people following them into this process.
Yeah, definitely. Because one of the things that brought me to salvation, as I also now remain the theme for my ministry, is one blind man definitely can lead another blind man, but the problem is where they'll end.
Mm. Okay. One blind man leading another.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
That would be a problem if you were both blind.
Mm-hmm.
I would
mm-hmm.
like to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Tito and Jeffrey leading each other.
Yeah.
Right into the Nile. I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a moment for you, Jeffrey, that you thought or contemplated that maybe it was just too hard? It was too much work. It was too much effort. It was hopeless. Your life was too full or too busy, and you just were like, no. It is a struggle for me to want to remain passionate and sold out to this process.
Well, there was a point in time that I really got myself involved in this ministry, and I'd gone out to check on a class, and on my way back, I was abducted by the rebels.
You were abducted?
Sure.
This is during LRA.
Uh-huh, yeah. During the LRA. I was abducted, and the motorcycle burned. Everything was removed. And I thought, is this really worth doing? What if I'd remained behind? I didn't go out to the village. Would have been abducted. But when I prayed about it, I said, well, you know, the devil knows what is in store. So he just wants to fight it off.
Hmm.
And I said, well, now because the devil is fighting it, I'm now in for real war. I'll go in for it now, fully fledged.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what started as this experience that could have left you hopeless and defeated has become, in the last decade, a motivating factor for you?
More than a decade, in fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay. Tito, tell us about you. What's your why? What motivates you to do this work in South Sudan?
Oh, that's a good question. I grew up actually a young boy not knowing Jesus Christ until when I met one of the ladies who is my cousin sister and led me to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It followed that when the schools closed in Juba, sometimes back in 1991, I had to look for ways to run away and get education somewhere.
Why did the schools close? Is this during the war?
It's during the war. The current president of Republic of Sudan actually imposed Arabic to everybody and anybody in the country. And the schools, which were actually English patterns, said that's not fair for them. They demonstrated and many people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked for a way to run away from the country. On the way, I found myself taken by rebels. The rebels, the SPLA, which is in the government of South Sudan now, they took us for training. And as a young boy of 14 years old, actually in the military was not that easy.
So you are leaving this home that you've known in an effort to get an education, and you're taken. So you are conscripted into a war that's not yours.
That's not my choice.
And now you're fighting somebody else's war.
Being in that training, I was not happy. I told these guys, I have a different calling. And the calling is preaching the word of God. I have no idea what I was talking to. I remember one of the officers actually slapped me for saying that statement. And I told him, that is what I'm going for. Because I was convicted to preaching the word of God. Even to soldiers at that moment, I have that zeal of sharing Christ with my fellow guys. I sneak away at the end of it because they actually helped me to sneak away.
Wow.
Yeah, they said, well, you don't have to be here. You go away from here. And I had to go out and go to the village. And later on, I had to go back to the same place where I ran from, Juba, and from Juba I had to go to Khartoum. That's why I was discipled into the ministry of Christ in a way that I began sharing God, actually, personally. It became part of me. Mm-hmm. That's the time when I was actually completing my high school. And the process of how I was really helped, discipled and mentored by the pastor, is the process that helped me what I am today. He actually helped me to go to Kenya for a seminary to study, where I met some people who also mentored me there in the seminary school. And
so you're mentoring and discipling men and women because that's what was done for you.
Yes.
And you know what that process looks like, and you saw it have such an impact on you.
It was something that has been already, you know, planted in me by men and women who stood by me.
And after you finished seminary, you went back to a very war-torn country that was fighting a civil war and eventually split into two countries. What's your why for this?
During the seminary, when I was in the school, every holidays, I usually go to South Sudan, where the war was going on. Because something in me doesn't allow me to stay somewhere. I want to be with my people. I want to be a salt and light to my own people. Because I realized personally that country like South Sudan and Sudan requires the church to be an agent of change. And I believe today, even up today, that there's nothing that will change a country apart from the Church of Christ. It's the agent of transformation. It's the agent of change that will change the whole system to what we really would love to see. And that's what God requires of us.
Okay.
I actually moved after my seminary to South Sudan. And that's the time when I met African leadership. I met African leadership, and they asked me a question. And the question was so simple. By then was somebody by name Benson Mutisi. And he said, "Tito, now you are finished. What do you want to do?" I said, "Benson, I have one thing. The church in South Sudan and majority of the pastors who are pastoring the churches today are not trained. They are not trained. They just pastor the church because they are called.
Right.
But they have no idea how to go about it. And I have that heart of helping build that gap. I want to build that gap by the grace of God. I will try." And he said, "We actually do what you are talking about." I say, "Hey, what do you do?" He said, "Here are the curriculums that we are using." And he showed me. Then I said, "Oh, wow, that's good. I'll try this."
Yeah, that was the very early, very, very beginning with you.
Yeah.
Okay, Caroline, I'm taking it you weren't raised in a war-torn country.
Yes, I have a very different story. But I can kind of share my why of why I wanted to be involved in raising money for African leadership and helping with the Valentine's Dance. You know, there was we call them the originals, the previous generation of women that planned this event to raise money for African leadership. And I have been to the party before I ever considered helping throw it now. But I wanted to do something bigger than myself. I have three little girls, and at the time I had two, and that is just a time where you feel like you're in the weeds and getting through each day, and it feels hard to, you know, do things that are outside of your home, much less bigger than yourself. And I did want to help with the Valentine's Dance, but I can share that I didn't necessarily at first feel a connection to African leadership. I actually have never been to Africa, and I wasn't sure where my connection to this was. And the group of us that were considering being on the committee, got together with Emily, and Emily shared some of what African leadership does. And at the time, I think you all had just started the program or were in the midst of starting the program with trauma healing with women and children. And I just had a moment where I thought, I have grown up with such ready access to mental health experts and mm-hmm. to therapists and to so many things like that, that even just being a part of the generation I'm a part of, that's become normal. And I have benefited from that personally. And I thought, this is an opportunity to pay that forward. Mm-hmm. And that's where I felt all in. That's where I felt like, this may not be the best time in my life to jump into a big project like this, but this is something that I do feel strongly about and that I've benefited from and that I would like to help raise money for an organization that can do this for other people.
So what was slash is your role with this group of women?
I run registration, which is a fun and exciting job where I live in an Excel spreadsheet most of the time that I'm working on the Valentine's dance.
Yes.
It's a big, fun party with beautiful flowers and delicious food, and it's a great time and fun music. And my role in it is mostly spreadsheets, which I feel so comfortable and thankful for.
How? Why? What is your background?
My job out of college, I went to work for an advertising agency. And I joke that I should have been an accounting major, but I was too lazy to major in accounting. So I did advertising, and I managed to find an advertising job where my main role was the Cracker Barrel billboards that you see all over the country. I would handle the logistics of putting new vinyls on those billboards. Huh. And there are over 1,500 of those billboards in the country, and we would change them all out at one time. And so I lived in a spreadsheet of deciding which artwork was going to go on what board and when those were going to get hung and dealing with a lot of that, which when I retired from that, when I had my first baby and felt like that is a skill set that how will I ever use that for anything else? That was the most specific job that I could have had for 5 years. And then when I met with Terry and went to a meeting where they were working on the dance the last year that they threw it, I realized that keeping up with 500 guests at a party and what table they're going to sit at and where that table is going to go and the logistics of that actually fit in with my skill set pretty well. And I thought, I can help and I can be a part of this group and I can do it from my office with my earphones in sort of my safe place of where I like to serve. So it felt like such a gift to be able to do that.
It's amazing. I'm an Excel girl too, so yeah, I'm like, it's with you.
It is a safe
place. It is. Can't.
And Emily's
even.
Like, get it out of here.
I know. Some people, it just hurts.
Take
the brain
it
to look
off
at
my
it.
Computer.
Yes.
I think this is why I wanted the three of you in a room, is because it's really easy to hear a story about being abducted or being conscripted as a child soldier. And it's so easy in the U.S. for us to create heroes out of the men and women in Africa that are making huge strides in transforming communities and building these places into things that future generations can live well and can know the Lord and can have access to a heart care and emotional care. But you are not the only people leveraging who you are for this. And so when I first heard Caroline say, "Oh my goodness, I can run Excel," I thought, she's an angel and a hero.
She's a hero.
Give her a t-shirt. Give her a cape. Like, I think for me it was this moment, this light bulb went off when I went, oh, this is what the church, the global church really looks like, is those of us who have specific skill sets leveraging those for the kingdom, something bigger than ourselves. It doesn't require that everybody serves the same purpose and everybody get on an airplane and be the front lines. What Caroline can do, I can't do. What Caroline can do, Jeffrey can't do. Mm. So there's this place where we all work and build together into something. And what's beautiful is that our why is the same. Our why, while it is contextualized to our story and to the motivating factors that push us to continue our efforts, our why is we know we've been called to something bigger. We have been made to be bigger than this. and we are looking for the right place and the right opportunity where God is saying, hey, this is where you get to shine. This is where your skill set and the person that you are gets to be on display and building something that God invites us to be a part of, which is so fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we say at Mocha Club a lot, loved people love people. And just hearing you all tell your different stories, that motivation really is that we have all been loved by our Savior in the most amazing way. And out of that love, we now get to use Excel to love people. Or we get to work in amazing countries in Africa and love people and tell them about Jesus. And it's cool that that's happening miles apart. And then we get to come together and encourage one another in that at this table.
Yeah. Tito and Jeffrey, where did y'all first meet?
Oh my gosh. I was going to ask that because you two are like Lucy and Ethel.
Potentially, yes.
I was trying to think of a male duo.
Do you know this reference?
What about those who
are? Do you know Bob Hope and Bing Crosby? No.
No.
Nobody at this table does.
Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye? I'm trying to think of duos.
Okay, well, you two are them. Just trust us. How did y'all meet? I would love if your stories were different. I just think that would just add to this.
Don't remember when we first met.
Was
it South
remember.
Africa?
No.
Was it in Kenya?
In Kenya.
In Benson's house?
No.
Why?
We had a conference, please. We had a conference in a place somewhere, just near to American Embassy, by the way. 2005.
Oh, where the bird took my food, eh?
Exactly.
Yes.
The bird took your food? Did it take anybody else's food?
It was my lunch.
No, the problem was...
We served lunch and
was... He was the problem to himself.
Oh, Tito.
Birds were hungry and they want to eat.
Thin ice.
Okay. At that time, even my phone was stolen.
The bird took your phone?
Yeah, not the bird. One of the maids there. The cleaners in the hotel.
Yeah.
So the bird took your food, man took your phone, and you met Tito.
Yeah.
I think that was
an indication of meeting a witch.
You too.
He messed up himself.
And your life has never been the same.
I thank God that he's using Tito to help teach me patience. And...
Okay.
Yes. And since then he has moved, of all places in the world. I don't know why he's ended up in Gulu.
Way. Ended up in your backyard. It's delightful.
Distress me.
I love you, man.
Thank you.
You're a great man.
Thank you for whatever.
I want to see the best out of you.
Jeffrey, what's your favorite thing about Tito?
Well, Tito, the favorite thing that I like about him is that he's always not in a rush, not in a hurry for anything. And he loves his sleep. And he doesn't want to help Edwina with some of the house chores.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe everything you're saying is the opposite.
That's what I love about him. Because he teaches me.
He teaches me patience. Actually true. I've never met an African who wants to be on time and change the culture of Africa around their feelings with time, other than Jeffrey. I mean, there's nobody more passionate, right, Tito? About time. I mean, I'm 3 minutes late and he's looking at his watch. And Tito, do you own a watch? I don't even know that you...
I don't have a watch.
Yeah.
I'm a free man.
His pants.
Yeah, you're a free man.
I'm a free man.
Tito, what's your favorite thing about Jeffrey?
You know, this man called Jeffrey Ochan. He's a good friend of mine. I'm not going to make any joke about him, but I'm going to tell the reality of who he is.
Okay.
He's a patient, a man of patience. He's very, very patient. Jeffrey, when he is in work, he does it to the point. I mean, he does it all.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to do with teaching, he does it himself. That's Jeffrey. He loves teaching. The other thing I see from this man, and I learn it, and it's good. He knows how to really bring up his family in the fear of God. This man, this guy is great, I'm telling you. All his children are God-fearing children. And by the way, they are all servants of God. It's rare to find such. And the wife is so lovely. Great woman. They made a good family. If there's anything somebody should learn from, this is that family. It's this family. Actually, there's so many things that we've been together. We've been learning from him. He doesn't tell me this or that, but we just look at his life and his wife. That's enough school. You don't have to go around. No, you just look at them and you learn. And the ideas, I mean, there is this term that I usually use for him. He's a man of integrity. He's Geoffrey. And that's why I love staying close to him, because he's an elder man with a lot of experiences.
Yes.
In Africa, respect elder ones, and you will learn a lot from them. Mm-hmm. If you don't respect the elder one, you will not learn.
It's a good lesson.
This from the man who didn't know that little children cried at night.
Until his fourth child
was born.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, Geoffrey is unique in an African culture where you will find him sitting on the porch peeling potatoes for his dinner with his wife and helping her cook and keeping the house clean and things that are so culturally divided in Africa, where those are women's duties and men's duties. And Geoffrey just has broken that and creates a very beautiful picture of partnership in a marriage. And it is it's a very powerful display for the men and the women that live in your backyard, apparently. It's teaching Tito a thing or two.
So, Geoffrey, if that's not the cultural norm to serve in that way, what led you to do that? Like, what makes you choose to live life differently than those around you?
Well, you know, we all have cultures and traditions and whatever. But to me, the determinant is the Word of God. It's the Bible. We're all made equal, image of God, same worth, same value. We are co-laborers, co-partners who work together. And whatever I do for my wife, if maybe not culturally relevant, but because of who she is to me, I love her, I value her, I have to do all that, because even Jesus had to lay down his life for the church. What am I doing to lay down my life for my wife?
Ooh, that's good. I gotta look for a man
find
like
one
Geoffrey.
Like that. Yeah, find one like that for sure. Caroline, you first met Tito last year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What was that like? What struck you about Tito?
Tito is bold. And I think I've made clear, as someone who likes to sit in a room by herself on Excel, I am so amazed by that and so excited by that. And, you know, when you asked him what his why is, for your first answer to be, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, is a beautiful and honest and very simple answer. I think I walked away from that dinner really just blown away by your confidence, and you are sure of how you live your life and everything you believe in. And that is, it can be a confusing world and life, and I can be easily distracted. And so I definitely am encouraged and humbled by that.
And if we haven't made this clear, Geoffrey and Tito are here because they're coming to the Fabulous Friends Dance.
Yes.
To speak on stage. And they are, you two are just a beautiful example of when we ask people to join us and serve and partner and work together with our friends in Africa, you two are two of the faces of those friends. And so it's an honor to bring what sometimes feels like two worlds together. Or two worlds apart, it's really nice to be able to bring them together and say, this is African leadership, this is Mocha Club. So, and plus we get to dance together. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I want both guys back in the photo booth because Tito in the photo booth last year.
Oh, Tito.
Photo bombing all of the couples. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Tito is in most every shot, I think.
For those that don't know what Tito looks like, he's a very tall,
dark
and bald man.
Bald man.
And he was putting on.
I don't know what I would say, dark. Oh.
No.
Bluish black. All right.
That's the problem with him. You
oh, now we're going to talk about each other's problems? Oh, go ahead.
That's the problem with Geoffrey.
What makes him a problem?
Okay. How are you, Geoffrey?
Go ahead.
See, he doesn't respond very quickly. That's the problem.
He's a very patient and thorough man. We've already established this.
I mentioned Tito's hairless head because at the dance last year, he was putting on all the wigs, and it was hilarious to see, like, a bright blue wig, huge glasses. It was amazing. So, Geoffrey, that's what you have to look forward to.
Well, maybe I'll just showcase a dance. I won't be able to dance because I still have a bad foot.
Oh, no.
That's slowly healing. That's an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
It
kind of
sounds like an excuse, Geoffrey.
No.
It's an excuse. He can play soccer now.
You can play soccer, but you can't dance?
That's the question.
You can't even play soccer.
What happened to your foot, Geoffrey?
Well, I had an accident.
Oh, gosh.
A car hit me.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. And interestingly, that was our wedding anniversary day.
No.
Yes. Well, what happened is my third follower, a sister, was working in Kampala, living in Kampala. Friday, she went to work, came back home. She was healthy, no problem. Saturday, she woke up healthy, and she wanted to go and do shopping for the weekend. And she prepared herself, no problem. Then sat on the chair to wait for tea to be brought. Then all of a sudden, she just collapsed and fainted. She was rushed to the hospital. On arrival, she was declared dead. And I had to begin now making arrangements. My mother, immediately after hearing that information, she also collapsed, blacked out, fainted, hospitalized. Then I had to begin running around making arrangements for the burial because the body was being brought from Kampala to Gulu. And then I went to the village where we were constructing the grave. Things were not moving. I had to come back to town because it was really dark to improvise on some lighting. And in the process, the car hit me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Geoffrey.
Yeah.
Can you imagine four things
happening
to us?
A day.
Yeah.
Four things in a day.
And I'm thankful that God spared me for such a time as this.
Geoffrey, after that whole day and you say I'm thankful, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I would be like, why, God, why? Pick someone else.
And that very night, the whole night, when I was in severe pain, I was singing in my heart 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
It's a good song.
Yeah. I sang that throughout the night, and that has kept me really.
Wow.
Otherwise, without that,
music does that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I love about y'all is we can go from a moment of pure laughter and joy and just really bonding over how life can be really fun, and then in the next moment we can be bonding about that life gets really hard and painful and. But yet the Lord is good. And I think my favorite people in this world are people that have as much joy as they do, as much appreciation for grief and sorrow, and the way that they can live both those out hand in hand. And just a beautiful thing to be a part of and witness. So I've had a lovely time this morning because of that.
Me too.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today and listening in on the conversation. We hope that you were laughing as much as we were in the studio. We had so much fun. Please share this episode with your friends. I think it's just a really good one to share for people that are having happy days and maybe some sad days, just to bring some light into their life. So share this episode with your friends. And also, if you wouldn't mind, head over to iTunes or wherever you listen on your podcast app. And would you leave a review? Because those are actually super helpful, getting the word out and getting new listeners to our podcast and just making sure this thing keeps rolling and more conversations happen. So if you just take a couple of seconds to do that, we would be super grateful. Follow us on social medias and stay in touch with what's going on in our organization. You can follow both African Leadership on Instagram and Facebook at African Leadership. And for Mocha Club, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media platforms. And our handle is just at Mocha Club. So come hang out with us, follow us. Leave some comments, and we would love to meet you as well. So thanks for tuning in.